Yeah, the Wednesday edition, Mr. Relevant, presented by Door County Distillery. I'm Alex Stroff with you from the Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All studio at the Avenue of beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Josh DiMaggio here with me as well. Producer Tiny Hands, Hunter Vaughn is back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Lots to get to. A lot of Packers action this week here as we lead up to the opener. 9 days away from the season opener for the Packers. They head to Sao Paulo, Brazil to take on the Philadelphia Eagles, week one of the NFL season, game two overall of the NFL season, as they get an early one there next week on Peacock. So obviously not a quiet 24 hours with the NFL cutdown deadline being yesterday at 3 o'clock here in the Central Time Zone, 4 o'clock Eastern on Tuesday was the cutdown deadline. And look, the Packers did what they had to do. Now, since we've last spoken, which was Monday around 1:30 Central, the Packers went ahead and traded for a quarterback, Malik Willis, the third string quarterback and third year quarterback out of Liberty from the Tennessee Titans. So Malik Willis, now the backup in Green Bay, both Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt were cut yesterday. But Sean Clifford brought back to the practice squad. Michael Pratt going to take a walk, the seventh round pick this year. His career does not pan out in Green Bay, but Malik Willis will serve as the backup. We assume right away for Jordan Love in Green Bay. So we'll get to that here in a minute. A couple of the things that surprised me from NFL cutdown day, but just want to do a little cleanup here as we get underway, as now the waiver claims are being processed and the Packers have a new kicker, which we will get to here in a minute. Ultimately, they will end up cutting Greg Joseph. That news just hasn't come across quite yet. And other former Packers signing elsewhere, including Grant DuBose, who, in NFC North fashion, signs with the Chicago Bears after being released by the Packers yesterday. So let's just get to some initial reactions with the cuts. We're not going to run through each and every one of them. But I think, you know, some of the things that I think caught everybody's eyes was what they would do with the wide receiver room. I mentioned Grant DuBose on the way out. Samori Toure, rather, is the one that signed in Chicago. Grant DuBose going to, I believe it was Miami. He's a Miami Dolphin. And then it's Samori Toure who signed with the Chicago Bears. Those are the two receivers that were cut. So they are officially down to their 53 now. But I think those two, I don't want to say are surprising, because you figured the Packers are probably going to have to let go of at least one receiver they felt good about. Ultimately, that ends up being Grant DuBose. And just another correction, he ends up in Miami. It's Samori Toure, the draft pick from a few years back. He ends up in Chicago. He was one of the earlier cuts, Samori Toure, and I think that was an expected one. He was a guy that spent some time in the practice squad last year, but just never really quite caught on the way that Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs, the other two receivers drafted in his draft class, caught on. So Samori Toure goes elsewhere. And then Grant DuBose is an interesting one to me because everybody was high on him. But when you've got guys like Bo Melton and Malik Heath making headway the way they did this offseason, it's hard to make the case for a guy like Grant DuBose to make the roster. When you're already satisfied with your four top receivers the way the Packers are, in Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, and Dontavian Wicks, how many more do you need? Two or three, right? And when you have the Malik Heaths and the Bo Meltons of the world, it makes it really hard to make a case for a Grant DuBose or a Samori Toure to catch on here. And I imagine neither of those guys, but especially DuBose, isn't going to wind up on your practice squad. So the wide receiver room, the way that shook out, I don't want to say it was shocking. I was hoping they would find a way to keep DuBose, but ultimately it's hard when you've got as much talent in that room that the Packers do. It's hard to make the justification of keeping, you know, eight receivers in that room. So no Grant DuBose, no Samori Toure. 10 offensive linemen kept by the Packers, which didn't allow them to keep room elsewhere as they, you know, they trim down the safety room a bit. They trim down the running back room quite a bit. And we will get to that here as we talk surprises in just a moment, which, of course, includes the A.J. Dillon situation. I've been saying for a few weeks, I think there's more to that. I don't think he's sitting out of preseason games because he's just made the 53-man roster. Ultimately, that was the case. So we'll dive into A.J. Dillon here in just a few minutes as we continue to just do some quick takeaways from the Packers 53-man roster. But Malik Willis and Jordan Love are your two quarterbacks. 10 offensive linemen kept. Only 5 linebackers, only 5 corners, only 5 safeties. Yeah, nothing shocking Here, let's quickly touch on this Malik Willis news. As the Packers go ahead and trade a 7th-round pick to the Tennessee Titans on Monday in exchange for quarterback Malik Willis. Now, something I'm a little bit confused by when it comes to this trade is he's kind of a project, and he's an older project than, say, Michael Pratt, who you spent a 7th-round pick on this year. He's been in the league. This will be his 3rd year. His rookie year, he started 3 games. He was just kind of meh. And then the Titans went elsewhere. They looked at Joshua Dobbs, who was just acquired by the Titans 2 years ago, to start over him. Then last year, you know, they bench Ryan Tannehill. They go the direction of Will Levis. This offseason, they sign Mason Rudolph and Malik Willis, not winning battles against those guys. So ultimately, they say, hey, he's available. Packers go, here is a 7th-round pick in exchange for Malik Willis. You can look at this negatively or positively, whichever way you choose to. I can give you the answers to both. When it comes to answering it positively, I think he brings an athletic upside that Pratt and Clifford certainly did not, right, in terms of mobility and in terms of a little bit more experience in the league, especially as a starter. So that's the way you can look at it positively. And for a team that is starting the season against quarterbacks like Jalen Hurts and Anthony Richardson. Yeah, like for a scout team quarterback to have mobility when you're getting ready for 2 quarterbacks that are mobile, it's a good skill set to have. It resembles your opposing quarterback a little bit better when you're playing the scout team in practice. So I do like that from Malik Willis. The negative side is what I just outlined, and that is if you are choosing a developmental project, if you're choosing somebody you're going to have to spend a lot of time on before you really feel good about him if Jordan Love goes down, why not just hang on to a Michael Pratt who's brand new to the league? It's not like Malik Willis had an outstanding preseason, right? He wasn't killing defenses, albeit he wasn't playing a ton, but he wasn't. And neither was Michael Pratt, and obviously neither was Sean Clifford. So you move on from Michael Pratt, you retain Sean Clifford on your practice squad, and you choose Malik Willis. Now, here's what I've said all offseason about a backup quarterback. When it comes to the backup quarterback, your big hope is you don't see him. Right? Your big hope is you don't have to see the backup quarterback. So, hopefully, all things go well. Shoot, let's spell it out this way. If things go really well, and this is a 14-2 team that clinched the number one seed, you might see him in week 18. Otherwise, let's just hope you don't see Malik Willis unless it's victory formation or until next preseason. That's the way I'm choosing to look at it. I think he provides some cool upside in terms of the mobility factor as a scrambler and a guy that can do some nasty stuff outside of the pocket. But I don't know that this totally moves the needle of my confidence level of the backup quarterback. Tiny Hands, Hunter Vaughn, back in the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. I turn to you. What do you make of this move? I don't think I'm being too negative, because albeit it's a backup quarterback, but this doesn't really move the needle of my confidence level one way or another than it did when they had Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt battling it out.
No, and it's the same move the Cowboys made for Trey Lance. Like, you're making this move. If it works out and you unlock something with him, then awesome. And then if he comes in and just lights it up, maybe next preseason and that in a couple of games, maybe you can get something for him higher than the 7th rounder that they sent. Or like, the only caveat to what you said, though, is the fact that like the most starting quarterbacks we saw last year in the NFL. Like, yeah, there is a chance he is going to have to come in, not just because it's garbage time. Like, that's a very real thing we've been seeing in the NFL these last couple of seasons, that the backup does play, and it isn't just because the Cowboys are getting the crap beat out of them in a playoff game. Like, it's going to happen at some point. So maybe he's a guy, because of his skills, where Matt LaFleur is like, you know what? Maybe he can go in and just cause enough havoc to get us through a second half of a game, because Jordan Love, you know, just gets shaken up enough where like, we can't bring him back out there, kind of a thing. And maybe you do something. It also says, like, for as many opportunities as Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt got, they're not good quarterbacks. Like, if you have to send a 7th rounder to go and get your backup, like, that's not a good look for those two.
No, I'm with you on that. It certainly wasn't. And look, I think what this tells you, and we'll talk about Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the Packers, a bit later, because I want to do a little bit of a deep dive into our feelings towards him. Right, like he's admitting faults in draft classes, and we saw that with Anders Carlson moving on from him. You know, I think that's a good note, right? Like Brian Gutekunst was typically a guy that we criticized for being way too loyal to a fault to his draft choices. Think back to the Amari Rodgers experiment from a couple of years ago. It probably took a year too long to move on from him. And now you see him move on from both Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt, both draft choices in the last 2 years. You see him move on from Anders Carlson. I think it's a good indication that Brian Gutekunst is no longer in the mindset of, which I think he was entering last year, this is a team that might be fine. We're going to kind of see what they are. No, I think his mindset now is this is a championship team. The championship window is open. So if we have shortcomings, we need to address them now. And he does that at backup quarterback. He does that at kicker. I think those were the two big battles on Monday. We spent a ton of time on those two position battles. Those are the two battles that everybody left the three preseason games going, oh, I don't feel super good about this. So, yeah, I think Goody admitting his faults is a good sign. And he's done more of that in the last week than maybe he does in his entire seven-plus year tenure as the general manager now. So, yeah, to go out and address it is a good note. I have a couple of surprises from roster cutdown data I want to get to coming up next. But first, Mr. Relevant is presented by Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in beautiful Door County. Tailgating season's coming up, baby. Football season's in full swing. You got your first home game in Madison coming up in just 2 days. You've got your first home game in Green Bay coming up in just a couple of weeks. Do it right with Door County Distillery, whether it's the vodkas, the brandies, the gins. If you're like me, you're a whiskey person. They've got the 27-time gold medal award winning single malt whiskey. My personal favorite. I love their bourbon. It is a really good bottle of bourbon. And if you're a rye whiskey person, they've got really good rye as well. You can mix those up in your old fashions too, if you want to do it that way. DoorCountyDistillery.com to find the retailer nearest you. If you're in Milwaukee, if you're in Madison, if you're anywhere over the state, it's wherever great liquor is sold. You can find Door County Distillery. And scan that QR code on the screen if you're watching on YouTube at ESPN Madison, at ESPN Milwaukee, to find a ginormous list of unique cocktail recipes. Biggest surprises from Cutdown Day, we also take a deep dive into Braden Narveson, the kicker the Packers signed earlier today. We'll also talk a little Brian Gutekunst. What do you make of him now? We'll talk about all that. Coming up, it's Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Struff. Distillery with my buddy Rob from Door County Distillery, and we have a Door County Distillery exclusive in front of us right now, Rob. Cherries, bourbon, two of my favorite things, put them together. You got right. Door County Distillery beautiful. Cherry bourbon. It's beautiful. We're just doing shots?
Yeah, we're just going to straight up. I mean, it is good for mixed drinks. You can put it in old fashions, Manhattans, but sometimes you just want to straight up take a little shot of it.
I won't complain about that. Like I said, two of my favorite things, cherries, bourbon, Door County cherries, bourbon. I can't complain. Yeah. Cheers to you, buddy. Thanks Cheers. A lot.
Prost.
Ooh, that's tasty. Oh, that's good.
Yep.
That's really smooth.
Get that cherry flavor. Yep. Not a whole lot of burn. Beautiful.
That's terrific. Door County Distillery exclusive, the cherry bourbon.
Check out their website with a huge list of unique cocktail recipes at DoorCountyDistillery.com. That's DoorCountyDistillery.com.
DoorCountyDistillery.com for the website. All right, I've got four surprises from Packers Cutdown Day that took me by surprise. And I know a lot of people are with me on a few of these. I want to start with one we just talked about, and that is Anders Carlson, the kicker. Going ahead and making him an early release, it was one of the first that was announced on Tuesday. I was surprised he admitted defeat, Brian Gutekunst, that is, on the Anders Carlson experiment. Anders Carlson probably barely won the kicker battle against Greg Joseph this offseason. And that's subjective, too. I mean, it was really close. And we kind of operate under the rule of the tie goes to the incumbent, which was Carlson, who was the kicker all of last season for the Packers. I figured he would be the kicker week one. Shoot, I figured he might be the kicker all season again. I just figured year two, he's got a little bit more confidence under him. He's got a little bit more experience under his belt. And then he goes out in preseason game number 3 against the Ravens, and he misses the kick. But I still anticipated him being the kicker come week one against the Eagles. So for that to be the early move and then to say, whoa, does that mean Greg Joseph is the kicker? Who, by the way, didn't have a very good preseason either. And now Greg Joseph, who still hasn't been as of recording, by the time you're listening to this on the podcast feeds, he will be cut. Braden Arvison, who was with the Titans, is now the kicker. He was just signed. We'll get into that here in a minute. But surprise number one to me was admitting defeat with Anders Carlson. I didn't see that one coming. I did not see that one coming. Let's go to the defensive backfield, and that would be the safety position. We talked a little bit on Monday when we did stock up, stock down following the preseason finale against the Ravens. Stock was up for Anthony Johnson Jr., the seventh round pick out of Iowa State from a year ago. He had a lot of playing time last year because the safety position was in shreds for a majority of last season for the Packers. And to go ahead and score a touchdown in the preseason finale, I thought was worth something. You know, like I thought that was probably going to solidify his spot for a guy that had both defensive on-field experience and special teams on-field experience. For a special teams group that was by no means very good last year, they had the best returner in the league for the second year straight in Keyshawn Nixon. I thought AJJ had a roster spot solidified. But the Packers go with the mystery man, the man that was constantly out last year in Zane Anderson, over Anthony Johnson Jr. They like Zane Anderson's special teams ability a little bit better, and they drafted three safeties in Javon Bullard, Evan Williams, and Ketan Oladapo. And, of course, they make the offseason signing of Xavier McKinney. Those are the four safeties they expect to see on the field, especially those three in McKinney, Bullard, and Williams. And then Anderson and Oladapo likely more special teams pieces. I thought Anthony Johnson Jr. made a much stronger case than he actually did. So to choose Zane Anderson over Anthony Johnson Jr. is surprise number two for me. And Anthony Johnson Jr. not back with the Packers as he gets claimed by the New York Giants. So Anthony Johnson Jr. out, Zane Anderson remains in. That's surprise number two. Surprise number three is everything that went back down with quarterback two. I just thought if you're going to put in a project and you're going to stick with a project, stick with the rookie. Michael Pratt outperformed Sean Clifford in the preseason. Three-game sample size, two joint practice sample size. Michael Pratt was better than Sean Clifford. And for a team that takes a lot of pride in developing quarterbacks sitting behind their starter, I thought Michael Pratt had at least a year. Brian Gutekunst says, we'll go elsewhere. And they make the trade for Malik Willis. Sean Clifford cut. Michael Pratt cut. Sean Clifford brought back on the practice squad. Malik Willis in as the backup. Everything that went down with quarterback number two was surprise number three for me. And surprise number four. Yeah, this was a weird one. It's A.J. Dillon. I have said this preseason, I don't think A.J. Dillon's going to make the team. And then when he misses preseason game two in Denver, and he misses preseason game three in Baltimore, now this is prior to our knowledge of the stinger injury that he sustained, his second in 9 months. Everybody's takeaway from him sitting in the second game was, yeah, he's made the 53, he's good. He's the backup running back. He made the roster. But I heard Wayne Larrabee and Larry McCarron say on the Packers radio broadcast right before the game started in Denver, preseason game two, he was having some altitude issues in the joint practice against Denver, and that's why he's not playing. He had left practice early. And I just thought there was more to this situation. I didn't think he was a bona fide lock to make the 53. And rather than parting ways with him on a very small deal, remember, A.J. Dillon was brought back on that about $1 million deal, very inexpensive, almost a veteran's minimum, kind of a low-risk, high-reward move, at least when the contract was signed, as they thought. It just all felt odd to me. And then when the news comes out yesterday from Adam Schefter, of all people, that A.J. Dillon has been placed on the injured reserve list without a designation to return, meaning his season is over, which also means A.J. Dillon's Packer career likely over. Tyler Davis, the tight end, by the way, also placed on IR without the designation to return. So his season is also over. But the A.J. Dillon one, I don't know how to view this, right? Because they don't really do injury settlements like they used to, where they could, you know, pay off A.J. Dillon's deal. He could be an unrestricted free agent. He could go elsewhere and continue his career, assuming he's healthy for it. I view this more as a, hey, man, we love having you around. You're great in the community. You're a great asset. The way you've wrapped your arms around Wisconsin. Why don't you rehab here? Why don't you join us on the sideline and just sit the year out? That's kind of how I view it. I'm curious to see how it shakes out. It could change in 5 minutes. It can change in 5 weeks. It could change in 5 days. It could change in 5 months. But the way this played out does not tell me the Packers felt very good at all about what A.J. Dillon brought them. The only preseason action we saw him in was the 4 carries for 2 yards in preseason game 1 against Cleveland, including 2 cracks at a 1 yard gain that he was unable to get. I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around this, but this was surprising to me, the way the A.J. Dillon thing shook out. And again, I've said I don't think he's going to make the roster, but the way he didn't play and the stinger injury that kind of came out of nowhere and wasn't reported for a while, and then to be put on IR rather than just parted ways with, tells me maybe there's more to this story. But it is not a good look. Obviously, A.J. Dillon's season is over. He will not play for the Packers in 2024, although he might be a member of the Packers in 2024. That was the biggest surprise to me, just the way it played out. Not that maybe A.J. Dillon won't suit up for the Packers, but the fact that he is still a Packer, is on the IR list, and there's clearly more to come from this story. Hunter, anything that I mentioned you want to touch on, or anything I missed that you want to touch on from Packers cutdown day yesterday?
I heard Wildean Tausch mention it, but Christian Welch not getting a roster spot. Like, it felt like he was going to be a guy that was going to be on the roster. Like, it's just one of those guys where he's like, he's doing enough. He's around the ball. Like, he'll find a spot on that roster, even if it's a special teams role. And then the fact that he didn't, I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. And, you know, Tausch said it, like, there's a lot more that goes into it than just what we're watching in the preseason games. And, like, I have to remind myself of that, too. That, like, these coaches are seeing these guys in practice, in the meeting rooms. Like, it could be something as simple as if they feel like the game tape or in practice stuff is about equal between two guys, but maybe for some reason Christian Welch is, you know, not quite getting things in the meeting room at the same level that somebody else is. Well, then you're going to take the guy who can understand what it is schematically they're trying to do. So that's where it's like, it's so weird with this when we're not around every single piece and all we're seeing is the on-field game time stuff, but there's so many more levels to what it takes to make a roster in the NFL.
Yeah, you're right about that. And Welch, by the way, spent 3 years in Baltimore, was with the Packers last year, was entering his 5th year in the league, the Iowa product, but from Iola. He's a Wisconsin guy, so obviously fulfilling that lifelong dream of playing with the Packers. Got to do it a bit on special teams last year. And could it be a thing where they have more tape on him and they just went with the younger guy? Like, that's kind of where my head goes, Hunter, is in the linebacker room, it shakes out to Quay Walker, Isaiah McDuffie, and Eric Wilson, kind of who they viewed, at least at the beginning of the preseason, as their 3 starters. And then their 2 day 2 picks in Edron Cooper and Tyron Hopper out of A&M and Missouri, respectively. Those are the 5 linebackers they kept. So I don't even think it was a special teams move. I don't even think it was a depth move. I think it was, hey, when we look at the other positions, they wanted to keep 10 offensive linemen rather than 9. I would guess Christian Welch, no pun intended with his jersey number being 54, that he really was the 54th guy. I bet that was the hardest decision they had to make. Maybe outside of Anthony Johnson Jr. I think those are the 2 toughest moves, especially defensively, they made yesterday. But yeah, the Christian Welch one, I said Monday, I think he made the roster. He forced turnovers in games 2 and 3 in the preseason, 2 interceptions in the preseason, had an eye for the ball, made some really nice plays outside of the turnovers defensively. That's a really good call by you. That was a surprising one. And I imagine, and look, there's so much going on in the NFL. I mean, there's 16 practice squad spots for each NFL team. And so that's over 500 guys are going to be signed today. He is not returning to the Packers. I don't know where he ended up, though, Christian Welch, if he's ended up anywhere, at least as it's been reported at this point. But overall, you're totally right, Hunter. Christian Welch was certainly a surprise when it came to yesterday's roster cutdowns. Callan King is another name that popped up. He was the seventh-round pick out of Penn State, the cornerback. Felt like he did enough in the preseason to make the roster, to crack the 53. And ultimately, he didn't. So those are kind of the big surprises to me. The rest of them, of course, expected, right? When the other receivers we haven't named, including Reggie Wayne's second cousin, Jalen Wayne, not making the roster. I don't think anybody thought he would. Dimitri Stanley didn't make the roster. Didn't think anybody would think he did. But to keep 10 offensive linemen, to cut Christian Welch, to cut Kalen King, to cut Anthony Johnson Jr., those are the ones where you go, whoa. Hope they didn't make a mistake there. And again, these are depth pieces. We're overanalyzing the preseason. But of course there's going to be surprises. And to see what they did at kicker and to see what they did at quarterback too. These are moves that reek of this is a championship team. The championship window is open. So there's your recap on the Packers roster changes as we get to cut down day yesterday. And now we get ready, just 9 days away, as I mentioned, from the regular season opener. Let's talk about this new kicker. Braden Narveson is his name. He is a rookie kicker. Spent the preseason with the Tennessee Titans who have Nick Folk. So, you're going to probably stick with the veteran who's been really good all his career. Braden Narveson comes to the Packers, played college ball at a bunch of different places, got most of his playing time last year at NC State. Previously spent some time at Iowa State and Western Kentucky, but ended his collegiate career at North Carolina State. Comes in undrafted this year, spends the offseason with the Titans, and he was really good. 6 for 7 on field goals, made both of his extra points. That sounds a little bit of an upgrade from Anders Carlson. Was really good at college, too. Much better than Anders Carlson was at Auburn. In his college career, Braden Narveson on extra points, Hunter. Not sure if you've seen this stat yet. In his collegiate career, 5 years, Braden Narveson, the new Packers kicker. 196 for 196. He did not miss an extra point in his college career. That is a good sign for a team that missed the most extra points in the NFL last year. So, I would view this as quite the upgrade. Quite the upgrade at kicker is Braden Narveson, the new Packers kicker.
Yeah, the caveat to that, though, is that the college extra point is still the line of scrimmage is up at the 2-yard line. It's not back where the NFL one is. So, like, if you really wanted to get it, what is it? The NFL extra point now is, what, a 30-something yarder?
36 or 37, I think it is.
Yeah. So, like, really, you'd want to find what his number is from back there, and that's going to give you a more accurate picture at that. But it is still an upgrade. Like, I'm not trying to, like, poo-poo the move, but it's just like...
But real quick, let's just compare, though, right? Like, Anders Carlson in college, 173 for 176. He missed 3 extra points in his college career. He was perfect his senior year, but missed one each as... he played 5 years as well, so his second, third, and fourth year, missed one each of those years and was a perfect 22 for 22 his senior year. So he missed 3 kicks, extra points as a college kicker, and he kicked less than Braden Narveson did. So it's still worth pointing out, in my opinion. And then Anders Carlson, by the way, was only a 71% kicker elsewhere in terms of field goals in college. Narveson last year, 18 of 23. So, look, he's got a leg. And also, I believe, he kicked the go-ahead kick in the preseason finale. 59-yarder. Good. With room to spare, might I add. This is good, Hunter. Packers got a kicker.
You hope.
Packers got a kicker.
Yeah, you hope. But, like, you're not going to know if they actually have a kicker until he's down in Sao Paulo and he kicks a 45-yarder at the end of the half and, like, drills it. Like, then you'll know if you have a kicker. Until then, like, I'm not going to say that they actually have a kicker. Because the only way you're going to know until he's actually in a game and he does it.
The groundhog has arrived. Joshy DiMaggio is here. I call him the groundhog because he doesn't always chime in, But he's sitting in front of me here at the Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Studios. When something catches his ear, his head moves, he throws the headphones on. And it's usually when Hunter talks, is what I've noticed. Go ahead, Groundhog Joshy.
No, this is about you.
Uh-oh, what'd I do?
I mean, the We Got a Kicker thing. It's not like Justin Tucker showed up or Robbie Gould.
Robbie Gould, that's a name.
They took some random undrafted rookie who was pretty good in the preseason, has decent numbers in college. Like, maybe he is the kicker the next 10 years, but this is just like Malik Willis. Like, well, there could be something here. I guess we're going to find out. It doesn't make me feel good about the any better about the situation
well, right.
Into like at this point, I would feel more comfortable with Greg Joseph than Chris Narvaierson's great long lost cousin. Like, this means nothing to me. This kid could
you'd be honest with me though. You would not feel better about Greg Joseph.
I know nothing about this UDFA.
Six for seven on field goals, 2 of 2 about extra points, made a 59-yarder go ahead the other night.
He's the same thing to me as Anders Carlson
no,
at this point.
No.
What do we have to go off of?
Much better preseason than Anders Carlson.
Was it much better? How many field goals did Anders miss in preseason games? Are you tracking his kicking at camp? Narvison?
I do not have those stats because it wasn't a real battle, so the beat writers down there weren't tracking everyone. Because Nick Folk was going to win the job.
Okay.
But Narvison is viewed as the 33rd best kicker in the league.
Well, great. You got
maybe 32nd because Anders is significantly below him. Greg Joseph is now below him as he'll ultimately be cut. I view this as an upgrade.
Do we have that information? Is Greg Joseph cut?
He hasn't been yet, but he will be. They're not going to carry two kickers on their 53.
Yeah, but can't they get through till week one with like having a kicking competition?
But then they'd have to cut somebody else.
Yeah, you move people on IR, you do this.
I want Hunter real quick because I didn't agree with this up until right now. Hunter, refresh our memory. At the beginning of training camp, you were really irritated that the Packers, I think they had 3 at the time. They went back down to 2. Then they signed the international project, Alex Hale. They cut Alex Hale and Anders Carlson yesterday. They signed Braden Narvison today. You have a very interesting take on kicking battles in general in the NFL. Just refresh our memory on what that is.
Yeah, kicker battles are a waste of time. Specialists are kind of head cases when it comes to their confidence. So I'm a fan of you find a guy, you bring him in, and he's your guy until you think he's not. And then you bring someone else new in, and you get rid of the old guy. And you just do that until Joshy? You actually find your guy.
Josh, it sounds like they got their guy. Braden Narvison's their guy.
Yeah, but we just had a competition.
Do you want another one? Is that what you're asking for? In less than a week, right? Because they fly to Brazil a week from today. Do you want them to have a kicker competition for 7 days?
No, I want them to just sign a good kicker.
I think they did that. His only miss was for 58 yards. We watched Anders Carlson miss a kick that was less than an extra point this weekend.
You saying you think they did that? That's just you wish casting. That's you hoping. How do you know what this kid's going to do in a regular season game?
It's going to be a stud. It's the next coming. Yeah, he's the next Mason Crosby.
That's based on literally nothing.
No, that's not true. It's based on very little. It's not based on nothing.
Which is as good
get
as nothing.
Right. No, I have.
Small sample sizes are as good as nothing.
That's hope's not a strategy, Stroll.
It's not hope. I have statistics in front of me. He went 6 of 7 with his only miss of the entire preseason.
How many kicks is he
going to
kick in his career if he's the Packers kicker for this season? Is it going to be 5 times as
Josh,
many?
Josh, if he misses 5 kicks all year, it's an upgrade. Anders missed like 12 kicks last year.
He sure did.
He stunk.
He did.
So anything is an upgrade.
So if this guy misses 12, then what?
Then I'll eat my words.
Like kickers are kickers. It's not gonna be definitively better if he misses 3 less than Anders would have. Like it is what it is.
But the timing of Anders, he cost them games.
Yes, and that has affected people greatly.
Yes.
Greatly, which is bad decision making. Him missing the 32, a guy who was winning, missing that layup and then getting cut, that's bad process. by the Packers.
I'm currently watching a montage on Twitter my buddy Andy Herman put out of Braden Narveson kicks from the preseason. That dude's got a leg. He's got a cannon.
Yeah, Anders does too.
Yeah, except Anders goes 12 yards to the right of the post.
Okay.
He's got a leg.
Braden's are right down the middle.
You know you're down bad when you're watching kicker highlights and getting excited.
Yeah. Well, that should give you an indication of how trashy this battle was all offseason. We've spent weeks and weeks and weeks discussing the kicker battle. And guess what? I'm excited as a Packers fan because I don't have to look at hot trash anymore at the kicker position.
You don't know
hope
that, though.
That you don't.
No, I know it's better. I literally know it's better.
Are we going to have to make a bet about this? Like, is there going to be some sort of punishment for you if he's not better?
Sure. We certainly can. We'll get to that in a second, though.
I want this guy to end up like practice squad and not even the kicker, and Greg Joseph is actually the kicker.
That'd be amazing.
That is what I want. It would be the best. Because we don't know this guy's role yet. And you're like, he's better than Anders. He's got a kicker.
He's better than Greg Joseph.
You were more reticent on Jordan Love, a guy who matters. You still have those concerns. This guy kicked a few times in the preseason. You're like, well, we got a new Mason Crosby, boys. Let's move along.
We do have a new Mason Crosby. I wish you guys were as certain as me. I wish you guys were watching the film. I wish you guys were doing the research like I am over here.
I can go to Andy Herman's Twitter, too.
Great.
But guess what, Joshy? Guess what, Joshy? You have it. You have it.
Let me tell you, my mind's not going to change when I watch him kick a few kicks.
It will. Is it that good? Daniel on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat says, it's not an upgrade at kicker, Alex, if he misses five crucial kicks in critical spots. Bad take of boss.
You got boss,
I got boss.
That should tell you that this is a bad take, Strofe.
I don't think it is. The Packers have a kicker.
You don't know that they do yet.
They got a guy that can boot the rock. That's all I care about. And it's accurate.
I can boot a rock.
You can't boot the rock the way Braden Narveson can boot the rock. I'll tell you that much.
Dude, he's got a leg.
Mason Crosby
can
still boot the rock.
The Mason Crosby ship has sailed, okay? Let it go.
Oh, okay.
You think they're going to bring him back? No, what are we doing here?
No, I'm saying things as equally ridiculous as you. It's for effect. Well, I'm doing a thing here.
Oh, man, that's good stuff. Good stuff. Well, Braden Narveson, the new kicker in Green Bay. Well, maybe, as they still have Greg Joseph on the roster. We will see as that continue to shake out. A tweet went viral yesterday on Twitter, and it was simply a screenshot of the 2020 Packers draft class. And the effect of said tweet is just highlighting Jordan Love is the only draftee from the 2020 draft class still on the Packers roster. When you look at picks made after Love in that draft, A.J. Dillon, technically still on the roster, won't be for long. Josiah DeGuara, gone, free agent. Kamal Martin, gone, free agent. John Runyon Jr. in New York playing for the Giants. Jake Hansen out of the league. Simon Stepaniak out of the league. Vernon Scott, I believe, out of the league. That 2020 draft class does not look very pretty. But given the pick you see highlighted there at the top, round one, pick 26, quarterback Jordan Love, this draft class will probably still be viewed as a success because you have the quarterback of the future. But that started the conversation of how good of a drafter really is the general manager, Brian Gutekunst. Because not only does he draft poorly, or at least he did at the beginning of his tenure, which started with the 2018 NFL draft when Jair Alexander was the first round pick, he's never really had a great draft class up until recently, the last few years. So I wanted to go over not this year's draft class, but the four prior to that, including the one we just looked at, the 2020 draft class, and say, did Goody make the right decisions by drafting these people? Did he make the right decisions by moving on from these people, or did he hang on too long? I referenced Amari Rodgers earlier. So let's take a look at the 2021 draft class, which goes like this. Eric Stokes, I still vote TBD. This season is big for that. Josh Myers has been a starter, although maybe a replaceable one. He has still been a starter. Amari Rodgers, he held on far too long. Royce Newman was cut yesterday. He's no longer a Packer. The rest of the names on that list, other than Isaiah McDuffie, no longer on the Packers roster. So you feel okay about the 2021 draft class, but you don't feel quite good about it. You like the McDuffie pick. That was a good value pick. Myers and Stokes is still pretty TBD. Everybody else no longer on the roster just 3 years later. So let's move on to 2022. Does it get any better in 2022? Well, a little bit, but not a ton. Quay Walker. Big year for him. Devontae Wyatt. That's been a flop so far. And given this camp and preseason, I don't know that it's gone a whole heck of a lot better. Christian Watson, when he's healthy, is a win. Sean Ryan. That's your new right guard. Hopefully that's a win. Romeo Doubs has been really good. Zach Tom's been really good. We like Kingsley Anagbare. Jonathan Ford was put on IR yesterday. And Rasheed Walker is your right, or your left tackle, rather. So the 2022 draft class, certainly better than the 2020 and 2021 draft classes as it stands right now. But there are a few names on that list we should take a look at still. Tariq Carpenter, seventh round pick, no longer here. Samori Toure, seventh round pick, no longer here. Those are just seventh round picks, though. If your first five rounds are going the way that class did, now, look, you want some more production out of Walker and Wyatt. But when it comes to Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Zach Tom, Sean Ryan, Kingsley Anagbare, I'd say that's a pretty darn good draft class in 2022. Quay Walker, the captain of your defense. And Devontae Wyatt, well, I just said it. That one's been a flop so far. Hopefully he can have a rebound here in 2024. Now, I just want to use this as the exercise, given the trend the Packers have subscribed to over the course of the last year, and that is the youth movement. Let's take a look at that 2023 draft class, shall we? It turned out to be a pretty good one. Lucas Van Ness. Hopefully we see more out of him in year two. Luke Musgrave. Seems like he can really become a good tight end in this league. Jaden Reed, stud. No other way to put it. Tucker Kraft. Seems like he can be another good tight end in this league. Here's where things get interesting. Colby Wooden we'll ignore for now. Still on the roster. So year two, we'll see what comes of it. Hunter, you want to go ahead and read that next name on the list for me? Round five, pick 149.
Sean Clifford.
Great Sean pick. Clifford. Well, it wasn't, which is the joke Hunter's making. But the good news is, Brian Gutekunst admitted defeat yesterday, and it didn't take 3 years. They took a shot in the fifth round. They drafted Sean Clifford. He served as the backup for a year. Whereas Hunter pointed out earlier, a lot of quarterbacks got hurt last year. The Green Bay Packers were one of few teams in the entire league that went unfazed by that. More quarterbacks started games last year than ever in the history of the NFL. One quarterback started all year for the Packers. One of few teams that can say that. So luckily you didn't have to see Sean Clifford last year. And guess what? You're not going to see him this year. Unless travesty hits and they have to pull him up from the practice squad. But they admitted defeat. From there, we move on. Dontavian Wicks seems like that's going to be a good pick in the fifth round. Carl Brooks seems like that's going to be a really good pick in the sixth round. Hey, Hunter, what does that say? Round six, pick 207?
Anders Carlson. Another great pick.
But once again, you say that. And that proved untrue, obviously. We just spent a lot of time talking about that. But what Brian Gutekunst did yesterday with that pick specifically and the one we just talked about with Sean Clifford is he admitted defeat. The pick didn't pan out. And that's okay. They went out and made a move with both of those guys, Sean Clifford and Anders Carlson, ironically both from the Tennessee Titans, to hopefully upgrade. Hopefully you got better at that position, both of those positions, by bringing in Malik Willis. And signing Braden Arvidsson. Brian Gutekunst is doing something he wasn't doing earlier in his tenure as the general manager of the Green Bay Packers. And that was admitting defeat on draft picks. He was really loyal to them. Really loyal to them. Some of them were around too long. But this year, that's not the case. Goody understands the championship window is open for the Green Bay Packers. And although Joshie and Hunter want to fight me on whether or not signing kicker Braden Narveson is a championship move, and I get it, we don't know a ton about him. But to admit defeat on a guy you spent draft capital on a guy you let make mistakes all season long last year, in a year where you were just two games away from the Super Bowl, and enter the following season say, you know what, he's just not good enough, let's move on. That shows me growth. That shows me like Brian Gutekunst is learning how to do his job better now than he did a few years ago. And as a Packers fan, that's an encouraging sign. So the message in all of this is, I'm encouraged by the way Brian Gutekunst has learned how to manage rosters over the course of the last few years. Some of his draft class is not very good. When you look at 2020's draft class, the only person from that class still on the roster is Jordan Love. When you look at 21 and 22, meh. 23 was pretty good, because in year one, a lot of those guys had to contribute. And they did, and they will continue to. But for Brian Gutekunst to learn and grow and admit defeat on draft picks he's made and has previously been very loyal to me, is an encouraging sign as a Packers fan. Hunter, go ahead.
I think it's also important that we're not talking about whether or not Goody should have drafted someone over another player. Because yeah. I think so much of that's such a... It's an easy and kind of lazy way to evaluate a GM.
It's hindsight is 2020, absolutely. Yeah,
and like, you don't know what skill set they were specifically looking for in that position, and if they were seeing that out of the player in college and things like that. But like, what you're talking about is really important, because if you hang on to a guy who clearly isn't it for too long, you're wasting a roster spot on somebody else who could prove they could contribute, whether that's in that same position or in a different position. And what you said, you're right. Goody has gotten better at it, and that is a really good sign. I think he's still got to get better at some of that drafting stuff and when he's taking guys like Sean Clifford in the fifth round. Like, whatever you want to say about Sean Clifford, like, that's not a good pick given where he probably should have gone. So you wasted that value of a fifth rounder. But it isn't, you know, we shouldn't be going and looking at it like, oh, well, he could have gotten T. Higgins, or he could have gotten this guy or another guy. Like, that's just, it's way too lazy of a way to evaluate a GM.
Goody should have drafted Creed Humphrey instead of Josh Myers.
Turn his mic off.
Everyone knows. They knew it at the beginning. Everyone knew. Guy just signed the biggest center contract in the history of the sport. You got Josh Myers? Come on. That was a draft darling, too. Everybody loved Humphrey.
Yeah, you're right. He was. Yeah. I remember that. I liked him.
That was when everyone went, huh. Yeah. In real time, everyone, ooh, I don't know about that one.
Yeah, you're right. But to Hunter's point, and I know you agree with it ultimately.
Yes, I do. And I also think the people who bring up T. Higgins isn't the reason the Packers would win a Super Bowl.
No, you know who is?
The left tackle, Dave Bakhtiari. Who was her injured and not playing?
You better not say ACL. You better not say a kicker, Stroff. I'll drive to Milwaukee and slap you if that's the joke you were about to make.
Also, no, I was going to say the guy they drafted, which is ultimately their quarterback and the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, Jordan Love. Yeah.
Okay.
I've been thinking about it because I've heard you mention Narveson. That's not a successful kicker name. It's not doing it for me. I'm not buying it. I got to be honest.
He's not making
Mason
the all
Crosby
main team.
Sounded like a successful kicker.
Oh yeah, that's a kicker name for
Mason
sure.
Mason Crosby is okay. Uh-huh. How about what's the Cowboys kicker's name? Brandon Aubrey, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That's a kicker name.
That guy sounds like he plays soccer, which he did.
He was the number one overall pick in the MLS. Yeah. Yeah.
Uh huh.
Dude's an athlete.
Narveson, and maybe it's Narveson being a Brewer that's kind of throwing it off here.
Maybe.
It's just hard for me to fathom a successful kicker being that name.
Tough loss last night for the Crew, by the way. Our boy Joel Piamps blew it.
Your boy.
He was really good up until last night. He was having a good summer, but no, well, anyway. All right, that's Packers talk. Time now. We wrap up the show. You learn something new every day. I learned something new today. I actually want to start today. I typically go last. I want to start because I learned something about the Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys. And for those of you unaware, producer Tiny and Hunter Vaughn, he's actually a Cowboys fan. He just lives in Wisconsin, grew up in Wisconsin. So I think we can also kind of call him a Packers fan, although I don't think he wants us to call him that. But he obviously follows the Packers very closely, given his line of work. But I got to be honest, I didn't realize Ezekiel Elliott was the starting running back for the Dallas Cowboys again. I didn't know that until I saw that the Cowboys have now signed Dalvin Cook. Hunter, what in the world is going on in the running back room in Jerry World? Ezekiel Elliott is the starting running back? I legitimately didn't know this. I knew he was on the team. I didn't know he was the starter.
Yeah, it's bad. It's just bad.
Can I say something for all those people? A lot of drafts this weekend. Draft Rico Dowdle.
I have one tonight. So Rico Dowdle. That's good to know.
Don't. From actually watching the Cowboys, don't.
Is he bad?
If you can get him at a good value late, go ahead. But like, don't try and use that as
130.
Yeah, I don't trust that room.
Oh, you sound sad.
My all-time favorite NFL player is Emmitt Smith. Like, I genuinely love the running back position. And what the Cowboys have right now is just so disappointing and sad. Like, this would have been a great running back room in 2018.
Right, right. Oh my goodness, it would be the best in the league with Zeke and Dalvin Cook.
But yeah, and now they're almost in wheelchairs because they're so old. Like, I don't know what Jerry's doing. It's bad.
Look, I feel like I know a lot about the NFL. Okay, and so to have a blind spot exposed to me this morning, by learning that Ezekiel Elliott was the starting running back of the Cowboys, blew me away. Like, I feel like I could go around the league and name every starting running back. And then I was thinking about it. I'm like, who is the guy? I had to go look at their depth chart, and I saw Ezekiel Elliott, Rico Dowdle, Deuce Vaughn. And the only reason I know who Deuce Vaughn is because I remember his dad is literally the running backs coach of the Cowboys. I remember when he was drafted last year. Mm-hmm. So now, Dalvin Cook.
I know way too much about that room.
What's that?
Malik Davis, is he still there?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I didn't pay attention to the cuts, so he might have gotten cut. But
I am looking at an article that says, I am looking at an article that says the Cowboys 53-man roster includes running backs Ezekiel Elliott, Rico Dowdle, Deuce Vaughn, and fullback Hunter Lepke.
Huh.
So I don't think he's there.
Yeah, they cut him, which is also frustrating because he showed a lot more than Rico Dowdle. But you know,
tough break, guys. Tough break.
Yeah.
As somebody who's completed approaching their 300th draft in best ball, we're getting there.
You sicko.
It's been a long offseason.
Yeah, you really.
I've drafted a lot of Rico Dowdle. I don't know what to say about it, but it's because he's cheap. The reports out of Dallas, because I've been following along to that because I'm invested in one of them winning, the beat reporters were like, I feel bad watching Ezekiel Elliott. Like, it seems like he's hurting. It seems like his body's not doing what it wants to be. And they're just like, yep, that's our starter.
Yeah. Woof. There was video of a drill where he had to go through that, like, gate of, like, the fake arms or whatever. And he did it, and he almost fell over after because he just looked like it hurt him so bad. Like, rubber arms hurt that man. It's going to be bad. They're going to throw the ball 50 times. They're going to run the air raid. It's going to be awful.
Typically, we whip around the horn when we do what we learned. I kind of just want to end on Sad Hunter. I feel like that's a really good way to end the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate
it. Thank you for coming. Thank you for hanging out with us today. We're back with you Friday, beginning at 12:30. Hunter's off, actually, on Friday, so that's the last you'll hear from him until Monday.
And there's the holiday, so it won't be until Wednesday.
Oh, Tuesday.
It's a week.
Tuesday.
Oh, we're doing a show Tuesday? Oh, I'm glad I know that.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday next week. Figured we should talk on that. Thanks to Joshy. Thanks to Tiny Ants. Thanks to you for hanging out with us on the ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chats, the ESPN Madison Facebook page, and available wherever you get your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Just search Mr. Irrelevant. It'll be the first result that pops up. We do this 3 times a week, talking all things Wisconsin sports. Well, we're with you Friday. We got a game to prepare for. Badgers take on Western Michigan Friday night in Madison. We'll preview that coming up on Friday, as well as get ready. We'll only be a week away from kickoff for the Packers at that point as well. Football season's here, baby. Can't wait to spend it with each and every one of you. We'll talk to you on Friday, beginning at 12:30. Same place, same time. We'll talk to you then. It's Mr. Irrelevant, presented by Door County Distillery. I'm Alex Strove. Peace.